Welcome back to Exit on the Left. I'm Keely. I sold cars, financed cars, sold again, tried to get out of the business just to return time and time again. The money brought me back. So did the rush. Life on commission was fun for people like me. Please note that much of this is adjusted to conceal the identities of those depicted. Some anecdotes I'll leave out the people involved entirely in an effort to share this story without making it about something it isn't. This is about the automotive industry, at least the one that I experienced, witnessed, and participated in. I also would like to acknowledge that I am by no means innocent in this, as you'll soon see. But it's only fair to call myself out if I'm going to light a fire under the business that built me. The Wreckage of Youth. Ah, November. A beautiful time of year when people realize they either need a new ride or new tires. The automotive industry salivates. Tis the season to convince customers to trade in their vehicles, pushing dealerships into their busiest stretch of the year. I was thriving. 19 years old, just 4 months into my career, and staring at my first five-digit paycheck? At this point, I was fully living the work hard, play harder lifestyle. It's funny how someone who struggled to connect with people could learn a bit about body language and suddenly become a social chameleon. I was winning over new friendships like a card shark stacking the deck. Bottle service at the bar, shots lined up on the edge of a pool table, courtesy of whoever was trying to get my number that night. I wasn't actually interested, of course. I was enamored with my boss. That was still under wraps, so in true reckless fashion, I behaved as any burgeoning alcoholic would, when given a little bit of status and more money than they knew what to do with. Unfortunately, that lifestyle had a way of creeping into one's work, as it does. I wasn't a liar, but I also didn't like to get into trouble. The previous Friday, I went out, hard. I woke up to the taste of tobacco and rot in my mouth, my throat raw from chain smoking. The night was a blur, but I had a sneaking suspicion that someone, possibly a bar staff member, had to carry me out at the end of the night. My head pounded as I sat up, disoriented. I glanced at the clock on my stove. My eyes blurred. 6:25 a.m. 6:25, then refocus. 9:52 a.m. I was so dead. It's one thing to be late for work. It's another thing to be late for work on a Saturday morning and still be buzzed. My stomach turned as I dialed Drew's number, scrambling for an excuse. The phone barely rang before he answered. Hello? I'm standing by your desk and you're not in it, Keely. Where are you? And why aren't you confirming your Saturday appointments? I hesitated. Come clean or... So I went out for the supper at this new place. I think I got food poisoning. I was so sick, but like, I think I'm going to be okay. Silence. Then, oh, funny. Jess is here and she seems just fine. As she tells it, you likely didn't eat anything, and we're drinking on an empty stomach last night. Shit. Sorry. Look, I... Save it. Shower, get dressed, grab a coffee, get here. This is your one gimme. This will not happen again. Click. I shot out of bed, showering at record speed, black dress pants, blue starched long sleeve, fumbling for my keys. I made it to work in under 30 minutes, but it didn't matter. Drew looked furious. His new sales manager, Hayden, looked disappointed in me. And Jess? She sat at her desk, eyes glued to the keyboard. I had never been one to get petty over someone throwing me under the bus, but this wasn't high school. I truly believed we were building a fiercely supportive friendship. Turns out, ambition and power can change a person overnight. If I was out of the way, she was instantly the golden child. I swallowed, moved on, kept grinding, but 2 weeks later, everything changed. It was Thursday night, late shift. I had just wrapped up my last deal of the day with Jess. I hit the Tim Hortons drive-thru before heading home. I was driving, cigarette in one hand, coffee in the other, talking excitedly to my dad on the phone as I held it with my shoulder. "I'm top of the board this month, Dad. Even beat Fred." The roads were icy, but I was riding high, going a little over the speed limit, letting adrenaline and caffeine keep me sharp. Then I dropped my lit cigarette. It fell onto the passenger seat. Shit. I didn't want to burn the carpet. "Hold on, Dad." I leaned over to grab it. I pulled the steering wheel with me. Everything happened fast. I veered off the road straight into the meridian in the construction zone. I broke through the first meridian, ramped up the second, and then I was airborne. The car rolled once, twice, a third time. The metal crunched around me, then stillness. I hung, driver's side up, seatbelt digging into my ribs. By sheer luck, a couple of first responders were on their way home to the same small town and had witnessed the entire thing. My dad, still on the other end of the phone, had heard everything. The tires skidding, the metal folding in on itself. He knew that sound too well. A lifetime of reckless gravel road driving, of outrunning the cops of Sovereign, of hitting the ditches. My phone was lost somewhere in the wreckage, but he still heard my voice. "I'm okay, I'm okay." I ignored the paramedic's orders to stay put. I pulled myself from the wreckage, stumbled forward. "I'm okay." Then warm, thick, soupy tomato liquid poured down my face. I woke 13 hours later in a hospital bed. Neck brace, stitches, half my head shaved. My dad and brother were at my bedside, and standing in the doorway, my ex? What the hell was he doing here? God damn it. I hadn't updated my emergency contacts. I croaked. "Leave. I don't want you here. Go." My dad waved him off, then turned back to me trying to talk. I wasn't listening. Panic was setting in. I rasped. "Phone. Where's my phone?" Dad sighed. "They didn't find your BlackBerry and my Nokia's dead. I left my charger at home." My stomach dropped. Drew. I had to call Drew. I hit the nurse call button. The moment she walked in, I blurted, "Phone." She blinked. "The doctor will want to check." "Phone?" My dad tried to talk me down, but I wasn't hearing it. The nurse finally handed me the hospital's cordless phone with an awkward expression. I dialed. Two rings. Then, "Morning, Drew speaking." My voice was weak. "Hey. It's me. I was..." He cut me off. "Don't want to hear it. Coffee, shower, office, now. I warned you." Click. I broke. Started sobbing hard. Inconsolably. Dad's face twisted. He couldn't wrap his head around it. Was I in pain? Was I okay? Was this shock? Finally, he grabbed the phone and dialed back. Drew answered. I said, "I don't want to hear it." Dad's voice came through like thunder. "Hi, Drew, is it? This is Perry, Keeley's dad. She's in the fucking hospital, so no, she's not coming to work. She's not grabbing a coffee. She almost died. And you got her crying over the stupid job? Over you being mad at her? Get some compassion and fuck you." Then he hung up. And for the first time since the crash, I exhaled. My dad in full Papa Bear mode was something I could get behind.